Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY24 results conference call of Welspun Corp Limited, hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhineet Anand from Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Anand.
Thanks, Michelle. Good morning, everyone. I'd first like to thank the management for giving us this opportunity to host the call. I would now like to hand over to Mr. Salil Bawa, Group Head, Investor Relations. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Abhineet. Good morning to all of you. I welcome all of you to the Q1 FY24 earnings call of Welspun Corp. Present along with me today on this forum is Mr. Vipul Mathur, Managing Director and CEO. I'm also joined by Mr. Percy Birdy, Chief Financial Officer of Welspun Corp. Gautam Chakraborty has just joined the IR team and will lead investor relations for Welspun Corp, and he's also along with me today here. You must have received the results and investor presentation of the company, which are available on the BSE and NSE, as well as on the company's website. As usual, we will start the forum with some opening remarks by our leadership team. We will then open the floor for your questions. During this discussion, we may be making references to the presentation which I just referred to. Please do take a moment to review the safe harbor statement in our presentation. Should you have any queries that remain unanswered after this earnings call, please feel free to reach any one of us. With that, let me hand over the floor over to Mr. Vipul Mathur, MD and CEO of Welspun Corp. Over to you, Mr. Mathur.
Thanks, Salil. Thank you very much, and a very good morning to all of you who are joining this call for Q1 FY24. At the very first, let me thank all of you for attending this call, and I hope you and your families are doing well. I would first like to take you through some key highlights of our performance for this quarter, in this financial, at the start of this financial year, FY24. We have, the quarter one has shown a very robust performance, and it has actually set up the tone for a very strong FY24 performance for the year. Some of the key highlights being, we have seen a consistent improvement in the sales volume of our line pipe business, both in India and in U.S. We have a very strong pending order book, unexecuted order book of almost close to 645,000 tons, valued at something like 8,600 crore rupees. We have seen a very steady improvement in our DI production and sales. We have seen a strong operational and financial performance in our stainless steel pipes and bars business. In our building material category, you know, this is the very first quarter when we are in, when we have been operating our building material, which is primarily Sintex, and we have, you know, we have seen a very steady ramp-up in the Sintex segment and in terms of sales. In terms of financials, our consolidated revenue from operations for Q1 FY24 rose 3x on YoY basis to rupees 4,069 crore in comparison to 1,322. Our EBITDA for the quarter jumped four times YoY to INR 418 from INR 102. PAT surged by 40x YoY to INR 165 crores from INR 4 crore. Our net debt got reduced by rupees 303 crores and currently stands at 835 crore rupees at the end of this current quarter. On the ESG side of it, we are progressing in line with our stated goals and targets. We have also published our BRSR report for during Q1 FY24, and which has also been vetted through a third-party assurance, PwC. I'm sure you would like to know, you know, what are the key drivers which are driving our businesses. As you know that we are now operating in the two verticals. One happens to be our pipe vertical, and the second happens to be our building material vertical. Let me first talk about the pipe verticals. In the pipe vertical, our first category is line pipes. For For this quarter, line pipe sales volume for our India and USA operations was at 185,000 tons, against 99,000 metric tons in the corresponding quarter of the previous year, registering a growth of 89%. For India operations, the sales volume was at 104,000 tons as against 92,000 tons in Q1 of FY23, and in US operations, our sales volume was 81,000 tons as against 7,000 tons in Q1 of FY23. So we have seen a significant jump in our US execution. The overall environment for the oil and gas continues to remain very favorable across the world, as global upstream oil and gas investment is set to increase by 11% to an estimated $530 billion in 2023-2024. In the latest publication, the IEA predicts that the world oil demand will grow by 2.4 million barrel per day to 102.3 BPD in 2023. It's a new record high. On the supply side, total oil supply is likely to reach a record high of 101.3 million barrels and 102.3 million barrels in 2024. So both the demand as well as the supply are seeing a very, very strong demand at this point in time. Also, the oil prices have been stable and range-bound, and you know they have been around between $70 to $90. The global market is likely to be in deficit in the second half of 2024, which can continue to support the prices. This overall oil and gas scenario will have its impact on our Indian operations as well. With the strong, let's talk about the key drivers in India. With strong GDP growth projections, India is likely to overtake China in terms of global demand growth in 2027. India's oil demand is expected to rise from 4.7 million barrels per day to 7.4 million barrels by 2040. The government targets to increase natural gas pipeline coverage by more than 54% to 34,500 kilometers of pipeline by 2024-25, and will like to connect all the states with the transnational gas pipeline by 2027. So far, around 33,600 kilometers of natural gas and 13,700 kilometers of petroleum product pipelines have been authorized. In order to further expand the reach of natural gas in the country, the nodal agency, which is PNGRB, has finalized 8 geographical areas, including Northeast and J&K. India present refining capacity at 253 million barrels per day is projected to increase by almost 56 million barrels per annum by the year 2028. So the oil pipelines, the gas pipelines, and the city gas distribution networks remains a key strong focus for our growth. Apart from that, our export outlook also appears very strong, with our key focus on markets like Australia, Europe, Southeast Asia, and Middle East. Upcoming hydrogen hubs and carbon capture projects are likely to drive future demand for pipelines in H2 and CO2 applications. US. The rising global demand for natural gas is a growth opportunity for the US, and it is projected to account for over half of the global supply increase in 2023-24 to become the world's largest LNG exporter. Oil supply from the US will continue to remain strong, with its shares likely to be around 45% of the incremental rise to reach a global demand, to reach a global total of 105 million barrels per day by 2028. So US will play a very strong role in terms of both exporting oil as well as gas, and would become one of the largest LNG exporters in the world. They are actually on track. LNG, as you know, LNG exports from the USA will remain a vital source of energy for US, Europe and Southeast Asia market. Our plant in US at this point in time is fully booked till the first quarter of 2024, and we are seeing a very strong demand for SO products in the US market, with quite a few businesses lined up in terms of finalization at this point in time. Coming to Saudi Arabia, the growth prospect of the country remains strong and has plans for a huge growth in the infrastructure project. Saudi Aramco raised its upstream spending by almost 24% to US $29 billion and plans further increase to boost its crude oil capacity to 13 million barrels per day by 2027. They continue to believe that oil and gas will remain a critical component of the global energy mix for the foreseeable future. Apart from oil and gas segment, we expect a significant demand for line pipes will also be there from the investment made on water desalination projects. The desalinated water capacity of 13.9 million cubic meter per day is currently being increased by 56%, and a further expansion of 44% is planned by 2030. In order to support this expansion for this water desalination project, the government is likely to spend almost close to $15 billion for this. As we have mentioned earlier, our associate company EPIC has recently signed a contract with Saudi Aramco for supply of a large diameter steel pipe totally valued at $1.8 billion. This order will start execution in Q3 and Q4 of FY25. As you are aware, the plant is having a capacity of approximately 300,000 tons per year and is now more or less booked with firm orders for next 1.5 to 2 years. In this quarter, they had executed an order, the sales for which will get recognized in Q2, looking at the delivery conditions and the terms of the contract. So while their production and operations were full go, but it is only the sales recognition which is getting shifted to the second quarter. Coming to the DI pipes, I am pleased to inform that there has been a consistent improvement both in production ramp-up and sales of DI pipes. The DI pipe market is expected to grow at a strong CAGR of 13 to 15% in India on the back of huge investment which the government of India intends to do in the water infrastructure project. We are talking about the scheme called Nal Se Jal, in which the government of India has already committed more than 70,000 crore rupees in their union budget of 2023. In the next few years, the DI pipes is likely to account 1/4 of the pipe market share in India. We are fully geared to become a key player in the domestic DI pipe market and have been consistently ramping our production capacity. Our immediate focus market remains West, Central and North India. Also, we are strategically exploring export opportunities in the key markets of Middle East and Africa. We already have a strong order book, a strong order backlog of almost 150,000 tons, which shall keep our plant completely booked for the next 3 quarters. Out of the total projected demand for FY23-24, where the capacity, you know, the consumption could be close to 2.6 million tons, almost 1.5 million tons of the requirement or the demand will be coming into the markets where we have the influence. So we see a huge growth potential for next couple of years in the DIP market. Let me also update you about our company Welspun Specialty Steels Limited. The operational and the financial performance at WSSL continues to be strong up, and it's a complete turnaround story. We have been adding new customers and also have made forays into international markets like Philippines and USA. We have also made successful inroads in Southeast Asia and MENA market. So we are expanding our customer base at this point in time. I am glad to share that we have also successfully developed Super 304H grade steel as well as boiler tubes including creep testing, which is being done in this country for the very first time. We have booked the first order for super critical 6625 grade, which for instrumentation tubes. We are confident that successful delivery of critical grades will pave way for more opportunities in high value added product segment. We expect our performance to significantly improve on the back of new grades development in critical category, geographical expansion, territorial expansion and our focus on sustainability and excellence initiatives. I am happy to share that we are pursuing our goals in terms of sustainability and green steel. And WSL has now access to a green power, the supply for which has commenced in May of 2023. The current order book stands at almost 3,800 tons, valued at 150 crore rupees. So this company has been a complete turnaround story in the last 2 quarters, and we see a huge and a great potential for this and for the product what we are offering into the market. Coming to the building materials vertical, where we have our national iconic brand Sintex sitting there. Coming to our building material segment, let me first talk about Sintex, a national iconic brand which has a market share of 23 to 25% at its peak level. Right now, we are in the driving seat for last one quarter, and our focus is to re-energize our market plan. We are re-energizing our market for our water storage tanks by aggressively bringing influence on retailers, distributors, plumbers, and customers. We are also restructuring our route to market for institutional product, focusing both on B2G and B2B. Along with the existing product portfolio, including water storage tanks, interior liquid storage solutions, and electrical boxes, we also plan to enhance our product basket to adjacent categories like pipes, fittings, and adhesives. This will provide us a greater opportunity for future growth. At this point of time, these are in discussion stage. While WSP market, which is the water storage tank market in India, is likely to become double from the current market size of 9,000 to 10,000 crores, the plastic pipe market size is likely to become 60,000 crore by 2025. On the back of this, along with our experienced team and strong focus, we are confident to increase our market share substantially from the current levels in times to come. On the TMT bar, which is also a product, is sitting in our building material category. Our newly commissioned plant has been ramping up steadily, and the utilization levels are improving on a sequential basis. Higher finished product volumes will gradually reduce the intermediary product sale, thereby improving the contribution for this segment. We are getting a strong traction of our brand, Wellspun Shield, as a tier 1 supplier in the B2C segment in the Gujarat market. Our innovative initiative for creating the digital platform for which encompasses distributors, dealers, retailers, and influencers has been helping us a deeper market penetration and to achieve our B2C goal. Just to let you know, our product has consistently been delivered and supplied, and right now it is covering 27 districts out of 33 and 95 talukas out of 252 talukas across Gujarat through our dedicated 152 dealers and 7 distributors. This network is rapidly expanding and shall give us more deeper penetrations in times to come, making us a leading brand in the Gujarat market. ABG Shipyard. As I have mentioned earlier in my earlier calls as well, we have been disposing of metals and metal scrap, which will result into a steady cash flow. We are keeping our fixed cost at an absolutely minimal level. Further, we are reiterating we are not exploring any capital intensive investment options on this particular asset. We are confident of fully monetizing this asset by the year end and thus having no stress on our balance sheet whatsoever. On the ESG initiative, you know, while our strong focus is both on the financial and the operational performance and customer centricity and technology, we also have been, specifically focused on our ESG initiatives too. We have, in Q1 of FY24, we have published our BSR report, and also we have done a third-party assurance of ESG data in the BSR report by PwC. Our long-term sustainability goals are to achieve carbon neutrality from 10% in 2024 to 100% by 2040, to achieve water neutrality. In this connection, we have also already taken some significant steps in terms of tying up with renewable power, and at this point in time, we already have almost close to 10 megawatt of renewable powers distributed across our business segments. From a balance sheet perspective, you know, we have been very sharply focused in terms of our net debt and gross debt position. When we at the end of the last financial year, our net debt stood at 1,138 crore rupees, which by the end of this quarter has been reduced by 300 crore rupees and stand at 835. If you see, we are absolutely looking at the business prospects and the free cash flow. We are more than confident that we will be able to achieve our guidance which we have released to the market. In nutshell, if we talk about, we are talking about our two verticals, which is the pipe vertical and the building materials vertical, and both these verticals at this point in time are poised for a leap growth in times to come. With this, I would like to end my submission and open the floor for any discussion. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abhishek Ghosh from DSP Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So just a couple of questions in the domestic line pipe segment. If you can just help us understand, you know, while you've spoken about overall demand momentum to be strong, between oil and gas and water segment, how are you seeing the overall traction and your present visibility of the order book?
Good morning, Abhishek. I think so. Both the segments, both oil and gas and water, are showing a very, very strong traction in the domestic segment at this point in time. Let's say in India, our total order book currently stands at something like 315,000 tons. Out of that 315,000 tons, 110,000 tons is in the oil and gas segment, and the balance happens to be in the water segment. And this I'm talking purely from a line pipe perspective.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And sir, how should one look at the broadly execution timeline for these orders, just to get a sense?
All of this, you know, the, if you're talking of this Indian order, this order book will get completely get executed within this financial year.
Okay. So these are all less than 12 months?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Sir, also in terms of US operations, we have seen that doing very well in the current quarter, and we have spoken about order book being there up to 1QFY24. Can you also help us understand and articulate in terms of how should one look at the demand trajectory beyond that, what is happening at the US oil and gas capex? Just some color there will be helpful to get confidence around the sustainability of this order book.
Correct. No, that's a good question, Abhishek. I think so. If you see, U.S. has completely realized their position in the global oil and gas market. They are poised to become one of the largest LNG exporters in the world. They are have positioned themselves as one of the alternative to OPEC as well. So from a geopolitical positioning point of view, this is what the overarching vision is. Now, in terms of activities on the ground, we are seeing a lot of traction which is happening in order to maintain this. The largest basin is the Permian Basin. I think that they are continuing to drill heavily in those basins. They are continuing to evacuate oil out of that. And the gas, they are collecting the gas which they are exporting to the world market. They are exporting that. I think so they, you know, at this point in time, if we speak, they are at least talking of two major oil pipelines and at least four major oil gas pipelines which will come from the Permian Basin. Of course, they are all going to come in a sequential manner, but that's the potential at this point in time we are clearly seeing when we are interacting with the various E&P as well as the midstream operators across the U.S.
Okay. So the visibility beyond next 2-3 quarters, I'm saying more from a 12 to 18 months perspective, is kind of coming through for you guys, for the U.S. operations. That's the way one should understand.
I would rather put it this way, that, you know, from a U.S. perspective, if we see, I think so there is a clear visibility of next 5 to 7 years. How much we will be able to bring, you know, capitalize upon it is our ability. But from a market perspective, I think so from, there is a clear visibility of next 5 to 7 years, please.
So in that context, what will be your market share in U.S. now?
We would be like close to almost 23% of the market share.
Okay. So then it is fair to assume, sir, that if the market expands or if market demand momentum continues, you should be able to at least retain your market share. Is that a fair assumption, or are there a lot of supplies coming in?
No. We are the largest player. We are one of the largest players in the U.S. We are one of the most, you know, which has a track record of executing large projects. If you look at the Permian Basin, you know, out of the 4 pipelines which have come, 3.5 pipelines have been supplied by Welspun. So that gives us, you know, that puts us into a clear leadership position, and I'm sure this pattern should continue in times to come.
Great. So the other thing is around fintechs, through the last 4-5 years, we have seen a lot of competition having come into that segment, while the core brand continues to be very, very strong. But how are you now looking to re-energize the entire brand in terms of execution, touching base the distribution again? How should one look at it? And also an extension into the adjacent product, using the same distribution. You spoke about plastic pipes and other things. How should one look at it?
So I'll give you a brief answer to that, and I will also leave the floor for my colleague Sameer to give you a more deeper insight to that. But having said that, I think so this brand still enjoys that pull, number one. Number two, while of course there are multiple players who have come into this segment when the company was in stress, and that is why the market share went down from almost 25%, 22 to 25% to 9 to 10% at this point in time. However, having said that, when we are, you know, for the last 90 days when our team have been on the road and they have been interacting with the various stakeholders including dealers, retailers, influencers and all those people, I think that the brand recall, what we are observing, is significantly high. It is all about re-energizing the whole channel. It is all about doing everything correctly in terms of, putting up the right systems, policies and the distribution network. And I think so we are very more than confident that we will see a significant ramp up in our market share type. You know, is it going to happen in 1 year? The answer is no. We are not going to have capture the market share or regain the market share of 25% in 1 year time. But it will be definitely at a much faster pace than anticipated. For two reasons, that A, the brand recall has been good and the quality has never get compromised into the, even during the period of distress. So our sense at a high level is very clear that it is, you know, we need to keep a very sharp focus, keep on re-energizing the market, extend the product offerings, and that is where the value creation will happen in this particular company. Sameer, will you like to add something to that, please?
Hi. So Vipul, you caught most of it, but I would probably add a few more pointers here. You rightly said, the trust on the brand continues to remain very strong, which is evident from the pull as well as the price premium we still command in the market. Second thing is, yes, there were certain damages to our route to market, our channels, channel partners, the way in which we are operating, because of the distress we had to take certain positions, which we are correcting now. In fact, last 3 months, we did engage and experts in this field with us to actually redesign entire program, and Q2 onwards, we are going to launch them. Most of the program to correct those parts, be it retailer, be it distributors, be it influencers, be it certain systems, be it our team itself, team organization. So we are making those changes. We should start showing results in the Q3 onwards. Having said that, even if you look at Q1, we are already seeing the improvement in the numbers. Regarding your second question about adjacent category, yes, while we focus on execution in water tank, we do realize that there are opportunities considering the strong brand in adjacent categories. So we are evaluating those categories, we would probably concretize our plans in next couple of quarters and come back to you.
Just one last question. In terms of the Saudi operations, that has seen major disappointment in terms of both, I think, volumes and profitability. Any color there, sir, would be helpful. Thanks.
Abhishek, disappointment is not an appropriate word. I think so we have to clearly understand that Saudi, let's say, just to give you an overarching situation, Saudi produces close to 300,000 tons of pipes on a year-on-year basis. And I'm talking of an average. At this point in time with their order book, you know, they almost booked for close to 2 years. So that's a sort of a strong order book what they're enjoying at this point in time. Right now in this particular quarter, they were executing one particular project. While the production and everything happened, but from a contractual point of view, the sales could not have got recognized in this particular quarter, and that is getting reflected into the quarterly results. It is not by virtue of non-performance; it is just by virtue of a contractual obligation, by virtue of which the sales is not getting recognized in this particular quarter. You know, it is just a matter of time; it is going to get recognized in Q2. But I think so. If you look at an overarching thing, the company, I think so, is absolutely poised in one of the best situations it could have ever have been having an almost a close to order book of almost 2 years at this point in time, a confirmed order book at this point in time. So I think so this, the next 2 or 3 years from a Saudi perspective are going to be absolutely record-breaking years. Is that what I would suggest on the table?
Great. So that is very clear. So it's just a timing issue is essentially what you're...
It was only a timing issue.
Great. So that is very, very clear and thank you so much. Thank you so much. Wish you all the best. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Singh from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. And thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Hi, sir. So my first question pertains to Indian operations. This is the second consecutive quarter where we see profitability, EBITDA per ton close to almost 15,000 rupees. So just wanted to understand what are contributing to it and if this trend would continue. What are your thought process?
Good morning, Vikas. And see, all through, Vikas, we have always been saying EBITDA per ton is a factor of the basket what we are executing in that particular quarter. In this particular quarter, I think so we had some orders which had very niche orders which got executed, and that is how this EBITDA per ton happens. And historically, if you see, we have always been maintaining an EBITDA per ton of close to 10,000 rupees per ton on a year basis. Some quarters it is high, some quarters it is more, but on an average we have always been maintaining that. And I think so moving forward, I think so this is only going to go north, not south from here, because now we are getting into, on the line pipe side of it, we are at this point in time discussing much more critical orders or more critical applications with more, Fortune 500 client. So I am very sure that, this is only going to improve from here.
Understood, sir. So my second question pertains to our DI and Syntex operations. Have we been able to reach EBITDA or PBT level break-even, or if not, then what is the timeline, our internal targets to reach target?
So let's talk about the DI. DI, we are absolutely EBITDA positive at this point in time. We have reached to that. Just to give you a, I think so we did close to some 29,000 tons in the last quarter. And half of it we have done it in the very first month of this second quarter. So that must give you the sense that how and at what speed we are ramping up our operations at this point in time. I think it is absolutely on track and in line with our expectations. And that is on the DI side of it. On the other side of it also, we are seeing a correction on the commodity side as well, which is with respect to coal and all that stuff. I think so that benefit should also start coming into our P&L in quarter 2 and quarter 3.
Understood, sir. And for Syntex, sir?
Syntex is just the first quarter, Vikas. I think so my request would be to give a little more time and space for us to, get into that. But in any case, they are EBITDA positive. Either first to answer your question, they are EBITDA positive. But what sort of scalability we are talking in the subsequent quarters is something which is a work in progress. And I think so we will be absolutely more than fair and transparent in our subsequent calls, giving you the clear headway that where is the company heading for.
Understood, sir. Sir, with pertaining to your Saudi operation, you remarked that we have a 2 year of order book. So how we are managing the commodity risk there in terms of steel supply back-to-back booking? If you could give us some insight into it.
Because as a policy, we never keep our steel open, number one. Now, but it is also a fact that, when you have almost of a 2 year of an order book, it is not practically possible to book entire steel. So at our board, we have done a complete risk analysis around it, and almost 70% of the steel we have strategically covered. 30% of the steel we have deliberately left it open, knowing fully that we would have still 4 to 6 quarters in which we can take a call. So we have completely de-risked ourselves at this point in time by blocking at least 70% of the steel.
Understood, sir. That's all from my side, and all the best for future.
Thank you, Vikas.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nafis Al-Abbas from Ajeej Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, gentlemen, for the opportunity. Again, sorry to bother you about this, but is it possible to share the volume that was sold during Q1 for the Saudi operation? Also, for the projects that have been awarded, I know you might not want to share the margin, but should we expect like an improvement over history or in line with the recent months, recent quarters, sorry? Just a rough estimate would be really appreciated. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Mr. Nafees. As you know, I think so the largest chunk of the order what we have at this point in time is from Saudi Aramco, and that was almost close. That numbers are all in public domain. I think so it was close to
1.8
billion riyal. So that apart from that, we also have some residual orders which we are currently executing that, and I think so that they should get over by the end of Q2. So these two things put together, the residual orders plus the new Saudi orders, gives us a very clear visibility of the next 1.5 to 2 years is what I am talking about, number one. I think so from a profitability perspective, Mr. Nafees, I think so we will come on a quarter-on-quarter basis because, you know, it is also the product mix as to what we are going to run in this particular quarter and how they are going to get executed and how much sales is going to get recognized and all that stuff. So it is a factor of various variables at this point in time. I think so it will be best left that if we can discuss the profitability of that on a quarter-on-quarter basis.
Great. Thank you. But just for the volume in the just announced quarter, like the Q1 for this financial year, do you, I mean, just a rough estimate of the volume that was executed, that was reported, let's say?
Mr. Nafees, I think we will have to respect the world exchange because it, you know, all that I can speak at this point in time, which is in public disclosure at the Saudi Stock Exchange, and that as a policy there, we have not disclosed the volume side of it. That's, you know, not that it is a very proprietary information, but I would like to be absolutely in compliance.
Not for the project, but the quarter.
I hope you understand, understanding, please.
No, no, I understand, but I mean, last year you said, like, let's say in Q1 last year, you said in the call, that the volume was roughly like 58,000 tons. I just want to see, like, what did they do this year so far? Not for the projects that are for, like,  1.5 years. No, what was already booked in Q1 results.
But Mr. Nafees, I would suggest that, you know, we can discuss that a little bit offline around it, and I think so I will be more than happy to give you all relevant information, which might satisfy you, please.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate that, sir. Thanks for your kind understanding.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Shailesh Raja from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. My call got disconnected in between. Sorry if my questions are repeated. So my first question is on Sintex. So last year, Sintex reported 57 crore EBITDA. Can you please share the volumes reported in FY 2023, and also can you give us guidance for FY 2024, sir?
So, in terms, good morning, Shailesh. I think so from a volume perspective, I think so my colleague, Sameer, will be in a much better position to answer that question, what was the volume achieved in FY 2023. But let's also state that, you know, we are, as Welspun took over, we are just, you know, we are only one quarter into it, and we will be more than happy to talk about this particular quarter and the subsequent quarters. So in terms of this particular quarter, I think so we have, you know, from, you know, they have done almost close to 3,500 tons of water storage tanks. And this number, and, you know, as you must have heard on the call earlier, as we are all focusing in terms of market expansion, we are more than confident that these numbers on a quarter-on-quarter basis will only eventually grow.
Okay. Okay, sir. So my second question on U.S. So historically, if you see in election year, the order booking will be lower, as people will start protesting against laying off pipes. So how do you see the next year in terms of new order intake?
I think that's a good question, Shailesh. But one thing which we also have to understand at this point in time, that earlier that used to be the case, where a political, you know, where an electoral year which slowed down the thing, but now that's not a trend we are seeing at this point in time. You know, there seems to be a reasonable understanding between the E&P companies, the midstream companies and the investors out there, that irrespective of the political spectrum, the oil and gas will continue to be a priority sector and there would not be any political disruptions created around it. That's the sense we are getting. So at this point in time when we speak, we are not seeing any slowdown per se. But of course, it is all, it is all subjective. Things have to be watched around. But when we look at the inquiry flow, when we look at the discussions, what we are happening with our various customers, we are not getting this feeling at this point in time.
But if you see the active rig counts in US, it has come down to 650 from 750 reported in 4 months back. So what could be the reason, sir?
That's, see, today, one of the reasons for that rig count coming down is also that they do not have capacities to evacuate gas, right? So they will have to, while they would have sufficient capacity on the oil transportation or oil to move the oil, but they still have a lot of work to do in terms of developing the evacuation of the gas. Today, if you keep on drilling and you keep on producing oil, and then when you have no scope to flare the gas, what do? It only slows down the whole process. And that is what it brings on the table, that it, this process will further accelerate more gas pipelines which will come up from the Permian Basin to the Gulf Coast. Hello?
Thank you. Sir, the participant has left the queue. We'll move on to the next question, which is from the line of Naisar Parekh from Native Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. Can you give a sense of the revenue breakup, including how much was from scrap sales in this quarter?
How much was from the scrap sale?
Sorry, ABG Shipyard.
Which is...
See, the total value of the scrap that we would be disposing of could be anywhere around 700, 800 crores. And this is getting spread over roughly about 5 quarters. So I think it would be fair to assume that around 1/5 of that value would be getting disposed of every quarter. And we are reasonably confident that by March 24, we would have completely monetized the entire scrap at the location.
So this quarter would have around 150 crores, is that fair?
Around that, yeah.
100 to 150 crore rupees would be the range,
yeah.
I would say, Mr. Park.
Got it. And second question is on the stainless steel side. We're obviously expecting a huge ramp up over the next couple of years. So can you just talk about that segment? What are the areas that we are focusing on? And in particular, what kind of traction are we seeing?
So as I said, that WSSL, which is our stainless steel, is a complete turnaround story. And I think so the fact of, it is driven on two principles. Number one, the domestic market is very buoyant, number one. Number two, there is a lot of efforts which have been done in terms of curbing the imports, the cheaper imports which were coming. I think so that the Make in India initiatives and all that stuff has significantly helped. Number three, because of the energy crisis, the European market demand has gone up and a lot of Indian products are now going into the European market. And number four is all about how much you are going up in the value chain. So I think that we are focusing on all these four pillars at this point in time. Today, almost 50% of our product is hitting the European market, number one. Number two, of course, the Government of India initiative, Make in India, is helping us a lot. But number three, most important is the, is the value-added chain. We are trying to develop the value-added grades, which is helping us and it is going to help us significantly in future. And on top of it, we are the only integrated player. We have our own steel and our own pipe, and that gives me a complete flexibility to speed up my value-added proposal. So I think so these four factors put together has completely turned around this company, and this is what will be the basis and the fundamentals for further growing it in subsequent quarters and years, please.
Got it. And just the last question is, from the profitability perspective, what percentage of EBITDA would be from line pipes and maybe DI pipes? Can you give some rough breakup of the profitability?
Out of you are talking about the Q1 profitability, the EBITDA of
Q1, yeah, Q1 EBITDA.
Yeah. So, Anaisa, basically, the DI side for this quarter is at a break-even level. So, at an EBITDA line, there's not a significant amount. So, majority of the profits are coming from the India and the US pipe business. Obviously, as we go forward, the DI is ramping up rapidly and they will start contributing in a very sizable way to the consolidated EBITDA of the company.
Okay, so I'm just trying to understand. So around 418 crores, the EBITDA if you look at for the quarter, that would include the scrap EBITDA as well and line pipe. So
yeah, so the majority of the
crores of scrap and then 300 crores of line pipes, is that fair?
Yeah, see, WSSL is already in the public domain, so they've already announced the results. WSSL EBITDA for this quarter was 23 crores. So out of our 418 crores, 23 crores is already known to you. Then there are a few smaller numbers which are there, around 20-30 crores, which come from other income. But the pipe business is more than 300 crores.
Right. Understood. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Neeraj Shah from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. This is Abhishek Jain from Arihant Capital. Sir, two questions. Congratulations on good set of numbers. I want to understand, sir, on the specialty stainless business right now, what is our target EBITDA? Because last two quarters we have done very well. What is our next 3 years? How you see what kind of numbers are we are aspiring going forward? And also on the EBITDA pattern, I'll be looking for your guidance on the same, sir. Second thing, sir, on the DI pipe side right now, what exactly is, because most of the companies are posting a decent thing right now, do you think there is a possibility we may see a 2 lakh ton number which we have talked earlier on the call? Can we on a higher side, can we do much better with those numbers, sir?
So answering your question on DIP first, I think so the way things are progressing at this point in time, we should be close to the guidance what we have given in terms of achieving the production and the sales. A, in terms of order book, there is no issue of an order book. There is an order book of almost 3 more quarters, which means for the full of the financial year, you have the order in place. It is all about execution. And the way we are ramping up, I think so we should be able to touch, exceed or close. We should be close to the guidance which we have given. That is something like anything between 175 to 200,000 tons. So we are pretty much there. We should be there in terms of DIP. Coming to this WSSL is, let's say, for the last two quarters, we have seen the way in the steady manner it is growing. The potential for the next 2 or 3 years, I think so we have our internal assessments very clearly tells us that this is a business which can potentially grow at a CAGR of almost 20-odd%. That's the way we are looking at it. And also coupled with that, is our stainless steel bars business also, because we are producing steel as well, which is bars. And that also has a significant potential at this point in time. And there is a significant requirement which is coming up from the European markets and the domestic consumptions and all that stuff. And that also has a potential to grow at almost 70-80% CAGR business. So this is what our internal estimates are currently telling us, and which is what we are tracking, and this is what we aspire to achieve in times to come over the next 2 to 3 years.
Sir, EBITDA per ton guidance, if you can give, sir.
We'll have to work that out, Abhishek. At this point in time, it's all about the product mix again. EBITDA per ton guidance will depend on as to what is my geography, what are my product mix. And as we are now inching more towards value-added grades, I think that this is constantly going to get changed. So once we are yet to get into a sort of a very steady state business model, which I am sure over the next 1 or 2 years time when we will get them, then it will be much more prudent to give you that particular guidance. However, at this point in time, I think so we should see only from a growth perspective and a profitability perspective. And I can assure you that both growth and the profitability is going to be there on quarter on quarters now.
Sir, I have few more questions. I'll get back to you in the queue, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. My question is on the Saudi side of the business. Sir, on the CAPEX that they are going to, I mean, country is planning on the water desalination project. If you could just give us an idea if we are trying to tap into and get some business from there as well. Does it require any certification, prerequisite to get some orders from the same business? And how is our competition like for the same?
So, Mr. Iyer, I think so. In the Saudi market, we have been very active both in the oil and gas and the water side of it. If you see, for the past 2 years, we have been doing primarily almost 85% or 90% of our business was on the water side of it. So all that criteria which are supposed to be met, we have already met them, and we are one of the largest players at this point in time in that particular market, serving both oil and gas and water. So for us, there is nothing called prerequisite. We take all the boxes and, we are one of the pole players. In terms of water investment, you are absolutely right. They intend to invest an additional $14 to $15 billion over a period of time. And, we will definitely get our market share out of that. Today, we definitely enjoy more than almost 25% of the market share in that particular country. And I think so, being into the pole position, there is no reason why we should not be getting that. Having said that, yes, there is, the competitive landscape is wide. There are three or four equally good, producing facilities. And they also get their own market share. So, but among all of them, I think so. If we have to summarize, we have got the largest share, the most profitable share, and I am sure this trend will continue in future as well.
Sir, if you could just give me an estimation as to what would the business size be from this upcoming capex for the next few years.
So there is no additional capex. No, we are not doing any capex there.
The company that is the country that is investing into water project, what is the estimated size of the business that could come over the next few years?
Okay, so understand. So I think the way we see that, almost the water which is coming from SWPCC or SWPC looks like that they might be doing close to 1 million tons on a year-on-year basis. And there is sufficient capacity which is now there in Saudi Arabia, which is competent and capable enough to address this particular demand. Of course, but we being one of the largest there, so we will also have our market share around that.
Okay, got it. Thank you, sir. One last question from my side. I am going to this presentation, and the 18th slide in the presentation of your guidance FY24. When you guide for EPS, estimated EPS at 26.8, does it include the contribution that is coming from Saudi?
It does.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from my side. All the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranay Gandhi from Green Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, sir. So I just wanted to briefly understand what are the business plans with ABG Shipyard? Are we looking to make any further investment, and what kind of revenues do we plan to generate from this division?
Pranay, in my opening statement, we made it very, very clear that at this point in time, our focus with respect to ABG Shipyard is simple, that we want to liquidate all the assets what is there at this point in time so that, we are absolutely cost agnostic. That's the only focus at this point in time we are working with. We are maintaining a very minimal cost at this point in time, the fixed cost. And number three, we are not putting any capital investment in that shipyard at this point in time. We are not doing that. We are on the other side, we are looking at various options, plans, this and that, but they are all more in exploratory state. In terms of that, are we committing any money in the next foreseeable future? The answer is no.
Thank you, sir. And sir, can you just, I know you gave that amount, but somehow I happened to miss it. What is the scrap value and when can we expect it all to be discarded?
That's good. Sorry?
The scrap value, yeah. I think it's spread over about around 4 to 5 quarters. So I think...
I think the quarter one of the next financial year, we should be pretty much done. Almost most of it will be done in this financial year. There could be some spillover which can go to the quarter one of the next financial year.
And sir, could you share the amount again, please?
So it was like close to 700 to 800 crore rupees. That's the generation which is likely to happen.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavik Shah from MK Ventures. Please go ahead. Mr. Shah.
Hello. Am I audible?
Sir, please use your handset if possible. Your voice is muffled.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Sir, I have just one question. So how much have we sold the scrap in AVG Shipyard and where do we recognize the revenue for that? How do we do it?
So it goes under the operating revenue only, Bhavik. And so roughly it will be anywhere between about 120 to 150 crores per quarter. So that's the thing.
Directly flows into EBITDA. We don't have any costs on account of that, right?
No, of course. We had purchased it also at the cost only, you know, from the liquidators. So,
okay.
So what I'm telling you is the top line, sale value.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so how much?
We are selling it at higher than the cost only. So there will be a bottom line contribution also coming out.
Okay. Right. And so how much inventory do we have left with all the scrap?
See, we started disposing it from March 23. Okay.
Right.
So we have been moving at a very fast pace. And though we have officially said it will take 5 quarters and that is June 24 quarter. But we are internally targeting to finish everything by March 24.
Okay, by March 24. So how much EBITDA contribution can we expect coming in this year of 24 from that? The remaining one?
You are saying how much EBITDA from disposal of scrap?
Yeah.
It will be maybe close to 100.
100 crores for FY24, right?
Yes.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, namaskar, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Kapoor.
And thank you for this opportunity, sir. Firstly, coming to this EBITDA part of the story. So you guided for 1500 crore EBITDA in your presentation earlier also in this quarter also. So is this from the operational part only from the line pipe segment that you are factoring in and not for the scrap and the other income that we booked on account of Syntex and CDs and other which may crop up going ahead?
No, Mr. Kapoor, this is consolidated. When we are presenting a consolidated number, everything and even the guidance is consolidated. So this 1500 crore rupees EBITDA guidance which has been given is based on a consolidated basis.
Okay, so we are factoring in the EBITDA from the scrap, we are factoring in the other income component, everything into it.
Everything.
Okay, and sir, if in your presentation going ahead, it's a request, if you could provide us the EBITDA, especially from the pipe segment separately, that would suffice a lot of our query, since the number of 418 is not optimum to the pipe segment in totality. So going ahead, if that could be segregated, so that would be very efficient way. Sir, other than that, sir, in the other expenses line item, we found an increase of from 486 crore to 647 crore. So if you could explain what is the reason for the Q1Q jump in the other expenses line item.
Yeah, Saket. So, the current Q1, Saket, is where all the operations are ramping up in a big way. As you know, US has ramped up in a big way and all the new operations, DI, TMT, we've got numbers of Syntex, everything has come in. So obviously all the numbers will show a sharp jump. As you correctly said, in other expenditures, there's a sharp jump, but so is there a sharp jump in the top line as well. So I think that's why, because of all the new businesses and ramp up, all the numbers will be sharply higher than the previous quarter.
But the Q1Q, how will you explain it? Q1Q, the jump from March quarter, the revenue run rate was 4070 crore. So vis-a-vis, it is flat only, Q1Q. But since then, I'm comparing these numbers on a Q1Q basis, sir.
Yeah. So we have got new operations added. No? For example, Syntex has also got added from this quarter onwards. And remember, ultimately, it's a project business, Saket. So every quarter will not be uniform. It will be different.
I was just referring to any one-off item that has been booked in other expenses.
There's no one-off item. It's it's a pure function of two items. One is the project mix that keeps changing every quarter. And secondly, now the new businesses are all ramping up. So they will all start adding larger numbers to the consolidated pie.
Right. Yeah, on the loans point, congratulate the treasury team for the net reduction in debt to 35 crore. So what is currently our working capital requirement and what is the cost of fund for the term loan? And if you could provide the breakup between term loan and the working capital requirement.
I will give that to you offline, Saketji. The cost of capital, the borrowing cost is somewhere close to 8%. It ranges between 8 to 8.5. Sometimes short-term funds are even lesser than that. Otherwise, you can take an average of 8% as the cost of funds.
At the blended cost of funds?
Yeah, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Sir, there was also one update from the income tax department about some demand raised from FinTech. And I think so we have categorically mentioned in the reply also that what steps are we going to take writing down the reply to CPC. So any update on the same, has the issue been addressed adequately?
No, I think there is no further update from our press release. We are very confident that we are absolutely okay and that we don't expect any impact to come on our financials.
Okay. Sir, and on the, I missed the initial commentary from Mathis Saab. So out of this order book we have, what is the executable period, sir, the pending order book of 645 KMT? What should be the execution for the current year, sir, be like?
Mostly, Mr. Kapoor, most of it will be executed within this year. There could be a minor spillover which can go to the quarter one of the next year, but I think the more than 85-90% will get executed within this year itself.
Within this year itself. So if we annualize the number for 185, that works out to around 740. So the execution scale is, so we will have, so the lower execution scale, lower execution going ahead, or there will be some seasonality factor, because if you take the current quarter run rate of 185 KT, that translates into 740. For an annual number, but our order book is there for 635. Then there will be a written order also that will be receiving and dispatching.
Absolutely.
So you are guiding for is it on a conservative basis that 645 number and 1500 EBITDA? That is my moot question.
No, it's a realistic one. I mean, it's a cyclical business. It's a project business. It is a blend. What guidance what we have given is a blend out of our experience. We are sure that Mr. Kapoor, we should be able to do that. Our endeavor would always be to improve upon it. And I think so. In any case, the first quarters generally in India are a little muted quarters. I think so. The production ramp ups and the dispatch ramps up will also happen in the subsequent quarters. So, but all in all, overall, if you look at it, I think so, whatever guidance what we have given, we should be able to do that. And, you know, if you look from a first quarter perspective, we have been able to meet the expectations of what we have, for the guidance what we have given, please.
And one more point, sir. Firstly, the tax rate, if you could give some understanding, why are the tax rate, tax book being higher? And at what rate are we exactly the tax incidence is going to be? And then on this presentation in the expenses line item, so we generally find that the other expenses are generally marked at the lower end and finance costs are just below the depreciation. So if it is not for any particular reason, please try to rejig the columns from depreciation and then the line item being finance cost and other expenses as the last line item. If it is not up for any other purpose being done. So that gives us a clear picture.
Yeah, point taken, sir. Mr. Kapoor, point taken. Let's evaluate the merit of it and we'll discuss.
And so for the tax part, sir, kya rate hai abhi?
So Mr. Sakis, our effective tax rate is about 25%. It of course keeps varying from quarter to quarter. You have to also be mindful that there are some operations like WSSL where we don't create a deferred tax asset yet. So, and also there are some operations like the new DI business which are in separate legal entities which are in a lower tax rate also. So to that extent you will have quarter to quarter fluctuations. But if you were to look for a long term guidance for a tax rate, I would say somewhere between 25 to 28% will be our effective tax rate.
Okay. And sir, what is the advance tax number for this quarter? How much has actual tax we have paid?
I think we can take those numbers offline. Those are not in the public domain anyway, Mr. Saket, so I think we'll see
okay.
it.
Okay, okay sir. Thank you. And sir, for point note number 7 also, if you could understand the rationale for this this merger part of Mahatasva Plastic with Fintech BAPL. And sir, this Fintech, this NCD issue, what was the total gross receipt we have got? We booked an other income of 54 crore. So, what have been the gross receipts from the sale of the NCD? And the other income posted in the consolidated number is 49.51 crore, wherein in your notes you have mentioned 54 crore. So, what is the net of this 6 crore? Ka kya hai?
Mr. Kapoor, what I will suggest that I will ask Gautam, who is listening to this conversation, he will get connected with you offline and he will be in a better position to address all your queries, what you would have with respect to the balance sheet. Please. Will that be okay?
Yes, sir. And I welcome Gautam, sir, as our IR person. And all the best to him.
Thank you. Greatly appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you. The next, ladies and gentlemen, this would be the last question for today, which is from the line of Abhishek Jain from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the chance again, sir. I just have a couple of quick questions. First is that I think this might have been repeated already, but I just wanted some clarity on this, that if I see the order book and the bid book quarter on quarter, there is a dip in both. So I just wanted to understand that I believe there is no structural change in the long-term story, but any reason for this to happen in Q1? Is Q1 just a bit weak in terms of order bookings? I just wanted to understand that first.
I mean, Abhishek, these are all, you know, most of these businesses are project-based businesses. You know, they are, you will see that cyclicality part of it in any case. I think so what we will have to stick around is the fundamental part of it. Are we seeing any fundamental softening down in the market? Are we, you know, is that, I think so that's the moot question on the table. And probably, you know, that's not the case what we are at this point in time looking at. All if you look at all the growth plans, all the economic trends, you know, all of that, the market opportunities, I think so they are all in very clear indicators that both the oil and gas market and the water market, you know, which are all sitting into a pipe vertical, absolutely, you know, they are showing us, you know, the demand seems to be fairly robust in times to come. So I don't think so there's any, should not be any undue concern around that, please.
Understood, sir. Sir, another question on the US side, the carbon capture project that we had earlier, has it started yet or is it yet to start?
There are some land acquisitions issues going around that at this point in time. They are under discussions there, and so it is yet not started. So once those acquisitions will be completed, that is the time where that the production and the deliveries will start.
Okay, sir. In the earlier question, you had mentioned that in US there are some pipelines expected to come. So is there any of that reflecting in our bid book right now, or they are yet to come, we are yet to bid also for that?
No, they are all getting reflected in the bid book. At least in the bid book they are getting reflected.
Okay. And sir, my final question. Sir, inventory levels currently, could you give us what are the inventory levels on the books right now? Because last quarter we had a big, our inventory had shot up to 5,500 crores. Could you give us some view? What is it right now?
Yeah, we can give a view, but it has significantly improved from that point of time. As we said, that inventory was against the order which was getting built up in America. And now when we are into an execution phase, that inventory is getting depleted. So we can get you the numbers, please.
It's tapering off, yeah, Abhishek.
Okay, thank you so much. And sir, just one point I wanted to ask, that in the stainless steel business, we used to earlier give the breakup of bars and pipes order book. So, could we get that again, or are we not disclosing those figures now?
We have not, I mean, right now we have, here for the presentation purpose, we have put it in a consolidated basis, but that's something which we can always share. I think so from a bar perspective, we are close to 2,500 tons, and pipes is like close to 1,200 tons, so we all put together close to 3,800 tons, as what I mentioned.
Perfect. Thank you so much for answering the questions, sir. All the best for the future.
Thank you. Thank you, Vishal.
Thank you. As that was the last question for today, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us our Q1 FY24 call today morning. I am sure that me and my team would have been able to answer most of the questions. But having said that, you know, if there are certain questions which remain unanswered and you really want to have some more details, you can definitely reach out to Salil and Gautam around that. On the other side, I just want to reassure that, you know, the company is standing on a cusp of a growth at this point in time. We are seeing both oil and gas, we are seeing water, domestic, we are seeing Saudi, we are seeing Americas, we are seeing stainless steel, and also our DIP business apart from Syntex. All these six, seven products in which we are working, I think so there is no debate or dispute or any ambiguity that all of them are seeing a significant amount of tailwind. And your company is absolutely favorably positioned at this point in time to capture around that. And we are sure that, you know, in subsequent quarters, you will see a much improved and better performance than what you have seen in this particular quarter. And we will be able to deliver on the guidelines what we have released to the market. Thank you very much for joining. And stay fit, stay safe. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Emkay Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.